Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And welcome to the Lord's House. Today we have as our special guest Pastor Rob Johnson, who pastors Servant's Heart Worship Center in Columbia, Tennessee. And he brought a two-part series message about building an ark. And we wanted to share part two of that message with you today. So let's listen as Pastor Rob brings the message.
And as we go through the scriptures, I want you to mark them in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible with you, write them down when you see them on the board and study these at home. Because part of our responsibility to our children spiritually is to pass along the knowledge of the world that they're going to live in that we'll probably be absent from. We need to build a foundation in our homes with our children, no matter if they're adults or whatever. Showing them what the Bible says is going to come to pass. And I'm going to shock you. I'm here to say that I do not believe biblical prophecy comes true. And here's why I believe that. I believe it was true from the moment it was spoken. It doesn't come true. It was truth when God let it out of His mouth. When God instructed the prophets, it was true. Biblical prophecy is truth. It's not truth to come. It is truth. And we can follow through the Word of God and see over through the ages, just in our recorded history, how much biblical prophecy has come to pass. It's all truth. It's going to happen. The Bible says, God said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. How are your kids and my kids going to know what the Bible says about the times that the Antichrist will come and what to avoid? Because the Bible says it's going to be slick. It's going to be somebody that come back from the dead that's going to do miracles, that's going to claim to be Jesus. And if our children don't know all the warnings about that time period, and they don't know what to watch for, the Bible says many will be fooled and many will stray, be led astray. So it's imperative, fathers, mothers, Christians, it's imperative that we know what the Bible says about biblical prophecy. You have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to start out with Peter's prophecy. In my old life, when I used to, in my old job that I spent 20 years at, when I first started, I was a safety director for this company, and I would create safety policies. And safety meetings were mandatory. And I always noticed how different people, different employees, depending on your level of employment, how you treated a safety meeting, how you viewed a safety meeting. To the lower employees on the first level or two, they went because they had to go there. So they would kind of drag in, get coffee, and I could tell that they really weren't listening because they'd heard it before. They think they remembered all of the CPR stuff and all of that. So they would kind of listen with half an ear. But those who were in management brought a notebook with them. Because those who were in management had the responsibility of implementing the safety programs and policies set forth by the laws that be and the company. So they were responsible for getting the messages across to the employees. So I pray today, we're going to go through a lot of scriptures because I want you to see it. I really want you to see it. And I'm focusing on one area of prophecy today because we've been watching it on the news for months. It is happening. It is coming to pass right before our very eyes. And I want you to be able to see what the Bible says about certain countries that surround Israel. Because when you watch the news, I want your mind to go to the Bible. And I want you to be able to talk to your families about it. So lean in. Don't look at this like the lower employees did the safety meeting. Lean in like a supervisor because it is our responsibility to pass it forward to our children so they too can build an ark in their house and pass it forward and on through the generations. You and I, as men and women of God, have that responsibility. Can somebody say amen? I'm with you, Pastor Rob. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I love you. And Lord, as we dig into your word, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the truth that was spoken to the prophets of old. And I thank you, Lord, that they wrote it down and that they passed it along. You teach us in your words that it's so very important to teach our children certain things, certain principles that are non-negotiable, certain biblical principles that are foundational and imperative. And you told us to write it on the doorposts and put it on the gate and put it on our write it on our forehead and write it wherever. But Lord, I believe the point you were making is do not forget to do this. It's that important. So as we dig into your word, God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit is now beginning to prepare hearts to hear the truth of your word. In Jesus' holy and precious name, everybody said? This is Peter's prophecy for 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's read verses 3 and 4. Most importantly, everybody say most. So this just wasn't like, oh, by the way. This is, out of all the things I just told you, most importantly, he says, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. Now let's go down and read 8 through 14. But you must not forget. Everybody say not forget. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promises, some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Can you see how this message mirrors what God talked to Noah about? He's talking about a time when God's going to wind all things together. Verse 10, end of verse 9, but he wants everyone to repent. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. Looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire. And the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth he has promised. A world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. In whose sight? In God's sight. Basically, what he's saying here is that we should live our lives as though Jesus could come at any time. I always like to say, you know, plan for a lifetime. Live your life. Go after everything that God calls you to do. Because these times are not the times that we should go into a bunker and pack up on freeze-dried food. These are the times that Christians need to be out there getting stronger and proclaiming the truth to our families so they will know what God says about the world that they're going to live in. Can you imagine? This message has been preached for a couple of thousand years, more. Can you imagine in the early 20th century, in the early 1900s, when preachers would gather with their families and they would say that times are going to be like this and the end is near? Can you imagine what those people were thinking? They had no idea about the world that we would live in just a few decades later. Just a few decades later, we would take to the skies in flight and go to the stars and walk on the moon. These times that we're living in were unimaginable to our great-grandparents. And they all said the same thing. I've been hearing that Jesus is going to come for years. That's why it's so important that we pass this along and down to our kids. So I always say plan for a lifetime, go after all that God calls you to do, but our conduct, the way, how we live our lives should be to live as though He could come today. Our conduct. Be godly in our conduct. Be godly in our lifestyle and in our hearts. And be prepared. Get our house in order. Don't hide in fear. Don't say it's all, I'm not going to even go out and I'm not going to even buy green bananas the way the world is today. You know what I'm talking about? We don't need to say that. We don't need to hide. This is the time to get knowledgeable and talk about it with our families. Get our house in order, because look, the truth of the matter is this. Over the last 85 years, more biblical prophecy has come to pass in the past 85 years than ever in any other time period since Jesus walked on the face of the earth. More biblical prophecy has come to pass in the last 85 years than any other time period since Jesus walked the earth. And to understand biblical prophecy, we need to turn our eyes, according to Scripture, and look to the east. Revelation 16:12 says that the kings of the east will march their armies into the Middle East. This is a direct reference to China. Write these scriptures down, study them at home. The kings of the east will march their armies into the Middle East. It's talking about China. Now, I was talking about prophecy a week before last with a friend of mine, a good Christian guy, and he's kind of taken the idea that we're never going to see any of it in our lifetime, that this will kind of keep going and going and going. And he may be right. Should the Lord tarry, it may go on another 100 years. Who knows? But his attitude about prophecy was, well, what can I do about it? How can I, one little guy, one little Christian, affect all of these worldwide events that we're talking about with Iran, Iraq, Syria, China, North Korea? What can I do? Well, when the Bible says that the kings of the east will march their armies into the Middle East, direct reference to China, there was a man named Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary to communist China many years ago. Has anybody heard of him? Praise the Lord. He was a very vocal and passionate missionary. had a powerful testimony. And he went into a world in communist China that was totally foreign to him. It was a world that was locked out. Nobody knew much about it. Kind of like our situation with North Korea today was his situation about China. Nobody knew much about it. But he had the burden to go there. And he says, I'm going into a place. You got to understand that they were being persecuted. If you were, at that time, if you were caught with a Bible, just having a Bible in your possession in China, you were immediately taken, no trial, you were immediately taken to a guard post and put in front of a firing squad and killed for having a Bible in your possession. This is the persecution that the people of communist China were under at the time Hudson Taylor went in there. And he went in because God called him. Every day, for 40 years, according to his writings, every day for 40 years found Hudson Taylor on his knees praying for the people in communist China. And during his ministry, he personally started this underground church, spread it out, and he personally led 1,100, trained over 1,000 missionaries out of brand new converts. So he goes in, he leads them to the Lord, and he trains them up how to be missionaries and take the gospel out into the darkness of their own people. He personally trained up 1,000 missionaries and 1,100 nationals, and each of those people went out and started their own churches and trained their own missionaries and won souls. This is one man planting churches because of Hudson Taylor's conviction when he read biblical prophecy. He said what inspired him was when he knew the prophecy about China. He knew the prophecy where it says the kings of the East will march in, and he wanted to make a difference. So he went into the darkness and did what he did because of his calling and obedience to God. China, which is the most populated country on earth, having 1.4 billion people, it's estimated that because of Hudson Taylor's conviction, call, and obedience to God, that at least 10% of China's population are now saved, serving Christ in churches and winning souls on their own and training up missionaries. One man made a difference, and 10% of 1.4 billion people is 140 million blood-bought, spirit-filled, saved Christians now doing a work in China because of one man. So yes, come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Man, that ought to make you say hallelujah. Praise God. One man made a difference because he was convicted when he read biblical prophecy. And he asked himself, what can I do? And his self said, absolutely nothing. But the Holy Spirit of God says, I know you can't. But I can. You follow my lead. You build that ark. And I don't care if they mock you and laugh at you. Your life is in danger. But in the same way I protected the disciples and the apostles, I will protect you to begin the seed of my work in an area that's going to be led into the final battle on earth. So we can make a difference. Amen? God said, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So why does the Bible tell us to keep our eyes on China? Now think about this. This is where it's unusual. This is more like teaching. This is a safety meeting, so lean in. He warns us, God warns us and tells us to keep our eyes on the kings of the East, because in 1964, China detonated their first ever nuclear bomb. and the world would never be the same. The dragon was awakened. And then in 1974, hear this, they perfected and tested a 1,000 megaton bomb, nuclear weapon. To bring that into perspective, the bombs that exploded over Hiroshima and Nagasaki were only 2.5 megaton bombs, and they killed, they incinerated over 250,000 people. And China has developed 1,000 megaton bombs. One of the news companies in 2009 did a documentary, and they did the numbers, they did the math, they checked the science, and they did this simulation. If one of those bombs, one 1,000 megaton bomb, was detonated 3,000 feet over the United States of America, it would immediately incinerate, annihilate three states just from the blast. People would be incinerated where they stood. And then the shock wave and the winds to follow would generate 1,200 mile an hour winds, according to their simulation, that would spread out from coast to coast. The winds of Hurricane Katrina were 150 miles an hour. So the three states would be annihilated, and then everything else, skyscrapers in a 1,200 mile an hour wind would fall like a house of cards. These are dangerous times that we live in, because there's weapons that can kill the world and annihilate the world many, many times over. And the scary part is that China's not the only nation to have these type of weapons. Several nations have them. Right now, China has over 4,000 1,000 megaton bombs in their arsenal. The United States, we have them. In fact, it's said that the United States has so many in storage that we could drop one a day for 300 years. It was 600 years before the Arms Treaty was signed in 86. But there's other nations that have them. So the weapons that can be used against Israel and the United States are phenomenal. Sometimes I wonder, could it be that the vision God gave to Zechariah could speak of maybe nuclear warfare? Let's read it. Zechariah 14:12 says this, "And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stood on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths." And it's important to remember that at the time of Zechariah, the only warfare that they knew about was bows and arrows and horses and chariots. That's why his description of what will happen to those who come against Jerusalem is so prophetic. Because right now, Jerusalem is surrounded by nations that have these capabilities. These are scary times that we're living in. In China, their government-run schools teach two main messages from kindergarten all the way through. One, hate religion, for it corrupts, it's a lie, and hate God, for He is a lie. That's what they're taught from the time they start school. And they're also taught that there's going to be a great war where China will march into the Middle East, and there's going to be a great war, and at the end of that war, half the people living that survive it will be Chinese, and they will take up and become the new world order, and they will bring socialism and communism to all nations. This is what they're teaching their children. And North Korea is on the same page. as China. Again, these are dangerous times. Let's look at Revelation 16:12. This is that scripture that I mentioned earlier. And a lot of people believe that the red horse talked about in the book of Revelation is directly referring to China. You know, China has almost as many people in their military as we have living in the United States. Revelation 16:12 says, "Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings from the east could march their armies toward the west without hindrance." This prophecy is astonishing. It's astonishing because in the last 20 years, China has built dams upstream from the Euphrates River, and all the dams are connected to one single controller, and they have the ability right now to stop all water flow to the Euphrates River, dry it up within 24 hours, so they could march because their only way into the Middle East, it's impassable largely by land. Their quickest, easiest access into the Middle East is through the Euphrates River. So they've built dams so they can dry it up. China's 250 million man army can march straight down through into the Middle East and wage war against Israel. So as you watch your news, keep your eye on how China is posturing right now, how things are moving towards and against Israel. Another prophecy that mentions nations is in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It talks about nations that are going to come against Israel from the north. This is talking about Russia. And it's important for us to know that God's not against the people of these countries. God loves all of us the same. He wants to see us all saved. That's why He led Hudson Taylor into China and other missionaries right now into some of these other countries. And you know what I found fascinating? When you talk to the missionaries from other countries, not from America, you know what the hottest mission field right now is on the face of the earth? The United States. They look at the United States as being a nation controlled by Satan because they see our laws and they see our decadence. So missionaries that are being raised up in China right now are putting their names on the list to become a missionary to the United States of America. That should break our hearts as Christians. We've got a job to do in this country. Amen? So God's not against any of these people. He's talking about the systems of government and the wicked leaders that'll rule the people of these nations. Ezekiel 38, mark this one down. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. This is Ezekiel's prophecy. "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against them, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses, horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling swords." Listen to these nations in verse 5. "Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them. All of them with shield and helmet." Persia. Ancient Persia is Iran and Iraq. And we know how much Iran loves the United States. Their Ayatollahs get up every day and chant death to America and death to Israel. And remember when their president, Iran's president, Ahmadinejad, or whatever his name was, Ahmadinejad, When he came and he stood in New York City and he stood on the floor of the UN and he proclaimed at the top of his lungs that their greatest desire, speaking for his countrymen and his leaders in Iran, their greatest desire was to drive Israel into the sea and wipe them off the face of the earth. That's why I'm so glad our leaders have ended this On Your Honor deal that we had with them, because that was one of the worst things that we could have ever done. I'm not going to get political, but it seems crazy to covenant and make deals with people who have laid out their cards in advance saying, we don't want you to exist, and we don't want Israel to exist. So glad that we're out of that deal. Because they would have been given the technology, which they already have, and the capability to build nuclear weapons equal to those 1,000 megaton bombs that China has in storage. It seems crazy, but it's prophesied in our Bible. We can see God aligning it to happen just like He said it would. We can see things coming into focus. And I believe that the reason that all these nations want to invade the Middle East and conquer Israel is also prophesied in the Bible. Look at Ezekiel 38:10. This is what the sovereign Lord says. At that time, the end time, evil thoughts will come into your mind. You will devise a wicked scheme. You will say, Israel is an unprotected land filled with unwalled villages. I will march against her and destroy these people who live in such confidence. So what is the reason for their evil thoughts and their wicked schemes? Look at verse 12. To take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods. Read carefully. That dwell in the midst of the land. When I did a word study on the word midst, it was underground. The midst was up and down, not left and right. Because midst, in one form, can be in the middle of an area. But this was midst as up and down. So, in the midst of the land, if you take the word spoil and you remove SP, you get oil. Japan gets 100% of their oil from the Middle East, and 85% of the European nations get all their oil from the Middle East. We in America get 50%. Most of Russia's oil comes from there. So if you wanted to think an evil scheme and plot and plan against Israel like is prophesied, what would you do that could bring to a grinding halt all the world's militaries and kill the economy of any nation? What would you do? You'd do exactly what it says in verse 10. You'd start with thinking an evil thought and plotting a wicked scheme against the most powerful yet small and vulnerable nation in the Middle East, which is Israel. And then you'd organize with your fellow schemers. You'd devise a plan to conquer and take over their land and take over and get control of the most powerful military in the Middle East, which is Israel's military. And then you'd take the spoil. You'd bind together with other countries. You'd think a thought, scheme a scheme, plan with your fellow schemers, Russia, Syria, China, Iran, Iraq. And you'd take over Israel. And then you would rule by taking the spoil. You could bring the United States and some of these other countries all through Europe to a grinding halt by taking the oil. This is what I believe the Bible is talking about. I believe the Bible is talking about them gaining control of Israel so they can bring the rest of the world to its knees. And the one obstacle standing in all these countries' ways is the tiny little nation of Israel. It's the one obstacle standing in their way from being able to do it. The Bible says these nations will come and completely surround Israel, and they will gather in the valley of Megiddo. And there's two major prophecies about Israel that I want to mention. Mark these in your Bible. Y'all with me? I know this is a safety meeting and everything. You lean in. I don't throw this many scriptures at you and talk about this kind of stuff very often, but it needs to be said because you need to know it, because you need to be able to tell your kids about it, what to expect. Amen? Two major prophecies, biblical prophecies about Israel. One, Deuteronomy 28:64 says this, "For the Lord will scatter you among all nations from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship foreign gods that neither you nor your ancestors have known, gods made of wood and stone." 70 years after Christ ascended into the heavens, Titus and his Roman army came in and leveled the city of Jerusalem. And the Jews that survived the attack were taken as slaves, and they were scattered all over the world. This is significant because this time they lost their land. They were a nation. They were still Jews as a nation, but they didn't congregate. They didn't live in one place. They had lost their land. They were taken all over the world as slaves and scattered throughout the world. So the prophecy that we just read was fulfilled. They were scattered. And centuries later, Hitler comes along and he gathers up as many as he could find from all the nations that he could gain control over, and he exterminated them in death camps. And they say 6 million Jews, but it's more like 14 million because they didn't count the children and the women. So God's people were scattered 70 years after Christ ascended all over the world. They lost their land at that point. And then they're between 1932 and 1945, they're reduced in numbers by millions. Scattered even more because all the ones that lived were afraid. They were feared for their life. They didn't know who was going to turn them into the authorities or not. So here's what, this is only God can do this. They lose their land for centuries. They're scattered among the nation as slaves. They're exterminated by Adolf Hitler. Reduced, and Stalin, they're reduced in numbers by millions. And then this is when God decides that prophecy needs to be fulfilled. Only God can take something that looks so bleak that there's no solution for it and fix it. Amen? When the Lord took the prophet Ezekiel into the valley of dry bones and he asked him, "Son of man, can these bones live again?" When you research the word valley in this context, it literally means in Hebrew a great ditch. And when Hitler exterminated the Jews outside of these camps, they would bulldoze these great ditches, and that they would just shove the bodies in and cover up. So the valley of dry bones speaks of a great ditch. Can these bones live again? God said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel said, "Well, only you know, Lord." And here's the key, underline this. God said, "Prophesy to the wind. Speak a prophecy that these bones shall live again." Now watch what happens. Ezekiel 37, verses 10 and 11. "So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. And they all came to life and stood on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones represent the people of," where? "Israel. They are saying, 'We have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished.'" These bones represent the nation of Israel. And that's exactly what God did in 1948. When it looked like everything was over and the Jewish people were homeless, nationless, and now reduced in numbers, and the ones that were left were hiding in fear for their lives, when everything was at the worst possible scenario, that's when God restored them. In 1948, God raised up the dead bones and brought them back to their land. He filled his nation with life. And once again, they became one of the most powerful nations on earth. So the first main prophecy in the Bible about Israel is that they would be scattered. Here's the second. Amos 9, 14 and 15. I will bring my exiled people of Israel back from distant lands, and they will rebuild their ruined cities and live in them again. They will plant vineyards and gardens. They will eat their crops, drink their wine. I will firmly plant them in their own land. They will, here we go, never again be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. This is the specific prophecy that the leaders of Iran, Iraq, China, Syria, Russia, North Korea need to read, because God said they will never again be uprooted from the land that he gave them. Israel is the oldest real estate contract in the world. And we can see this prophecy coming to pass. And in the scripture we just read, you and I, we're those mentioned in that scripture who will see for themselves these things come to pass. And because of that, because we are those, here's some instructions for us. Romans 13, 11 through 14. This is all the more urgent for you who know how late it is. Here we go. Time is running out. Wake up, underline wake up. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or sexual promiscuity and immoral living or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. So God's giving this generation, us being this who is seeing this come to pass, he's saying, first, he's given us three commands. First, if you know the Lord, the day of the Lord is at hand. If you know the coming of the Lord is near, wake up. That's the first command. The church needs to wake up. Because the church has gone to sleep. Again, God said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Those of you right now that are sitting there trying to continue to listen to me because I'm so boring and this is all so boring, those of you, please hear this. This is the command of God to wake up. We need to know this. Our children need to know what's coming. So the first command was wake up, because the church has gone to sleep. The second command, the thing he's telling us to do, is to clean up. Watch out for the sins of the flesh. He lists these things: party and drunkenness, immoral living, sexual promiscuity, all of these things, and jealousy and fighting. He specifically names these things. Clean up. Clean up your lifestyle. Clean up your private life. Because this is no time to be compromising as Christians. My gosh, the whole message today in a lot of churches, and I'm not knocking churches, please don't email me, I'm not doing that, I'm just saying, we can see with our spiritual eyes that there's a message of compromise. There's entire denominations of churches that are ordaining, taking as members and ordaining people with an alternate lifestyle. There's churches that can have Bible studies where you bring your own wine or a six-pack of beer. Compromise, compromise. And last week when we studied about Noah, God said build an ark, and God gave Noah specific instructions, exact instructions. There are certain foundational truths of the Bible that you and I as Christians cannot compromise from. I don't care how much... well, you'll have more people in your church if you just tone down that Holy Spirit stuff. You'll have more people in your church if you just stop talking about homosexuality and drinking and all this stuff. But these are foundational truths of the Bible, y'all. These are God's Word. And if the church isn't going to stand on God's Word, then who in the world is? This is the hottest mission field on the planet. To the rest of the world, the United States is the hottest, most white for harvest mission field on the planet. Why is that? That a Christian nation founded on the principles of God and the Bible be driven so far away from God that we don't even recognize how we're falling in to the world in the way that Israel did over and over in the Old Testament. We can't compromise. We got to stop as a church. Clean up was the second command. The third instruction for us in Romans 13, 11 through 14 is to look up. The Bible says, lift up your head, for redemption draweth nigh. And I felt led to include this in the Father's Day message. And I felt led to give you the analogy of safety meetings and how some people came and some people came prepared and interested. Because it's the most important thing that we need to pass along to our children and our grandchildren as fathers and mothers. We need to get this in our spirit, because every day on the news I'm seeing posturing and prophecy being fulfilled. We are in the last days. I've included one last prophecy about society in the last days. Look at 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Paul is instructing Timothy, who's going to carry on and build churches. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, how many believe this is the last days? All evidence points to it. We can feel it in our spirit. He's talking to us here about society here. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very, very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Underline verse 5. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. See, there's a difference in being godly versus just merely being religious. Stay away from people like that. When the Bible talks about the last days church, the Laodicean church, God says, I'd rather you be hot or cold. But you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. The lukewarm church of the last days, God says, will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. This is exactly what Timothy's saying. So all of this, what does it have to do with Father's Day? Again, we need to become passionate about our relationship with God. If you know in your heart that you've lost interest in the things of God, if you've lost interest in being faithful to the house of God and to His people, it's time that you get your life right with God. That's the whole message in a nutshell, because redemption draweth nigh. Now, there's one thing I also want to say. It's a temptation. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because as I look around, the vast majority of people here that have adult children that are away from God. This is heartbreaking as a father, as a parent. And it's very tempting to look at our adult children. I'm guilty. I can preach this because I did it. God had to deliver me of this kind of thinking. We can look at our adult children and say, I can recognize the patterns. How many times have I said that? I should have that tattooed on my head. I can see the patterns. He's just going to fall into the same old pattern again. Here we go again. Over and over and over. And we speak this way about our kids. And it starts when they're teenagers. Fathers, don't tell me you haven't done this. This is the Lord's house. We don't lie here. Oh, they're just following. You're just like your uncle was. He wasn't no good, and he's going to end up just this way. And we start predicting the future of our kids. And what we're doing is we're casting, we're speaking out loud condemnation on our children, even though they have displayed the same patterns over and over. When God said, Son of man, can these bones live again? From Ezekiel's perspective, the bones, there's no hope for them bones. They're just dead and dried and scattered over. There ain't no hope for them. They're just like their uncle. Son of man, can these bones live again? Son of man, can your child break out of this pattern of addiction? Son of man, can your child break out of the pattern of self-indulgence and selfishness and pride and sin in their life? Ooh, don't be tempted to say, they've just done it, so they're just going to keep doing it. Don't do that. Can these bones live again? I don't know. Only you know, Lord, says Ezekiel. And God gave him a command. He said, speak a prophecy to the wind. Say, let these bones live again. And when he did, breath. I love that scripture. As soon as Ezekiel prophesied, there came a noise from the floor of the desert like the rattling of bones. What I'm saying to you, mothers and fathers, especially fathers, don't be tempted to speak condemnation on your kids. Let's start today and speak a blessing over their life. Yes, in the name of Jesus, this child could come out of this pattern that they've been in for 25 years. Yes, these bones can live again. Oh God, we need to speak blessings over our children when they go to school. If you still got them at home, put a little spot of oil over their doorpost and say, in the name of Jesus, walk through their room and pray and say, oh God, give my children wisdom today. Let them make good decisions. Oh God, keep them away from temptation. When your adult kids call you and they have problems in their life, speak a blessing over them. Lord, I know this is a problem they've been going through for 20 years, but I speak in the name of Jesus, I send a prophecy to the wind that these bones shall live again. My child who serves addiction and serves the devil at this very moment is one day going to stand in this pulpit and he's going to preach the glory and the word of God. Speak a blessing over our kids.
Father, today we come before you and we're so thankful for this word that we have heard. And now, Father, I ask if there be one that is listening to this today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that the Holy Spirit would begin to speak to their heart and convict them, Father, of their need of Jesus Christ. And if you need Jesus Christ in your heart, just simply ask Him to come in. Just simply say, Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Would you come into my heart today? And if you do a prayer or something like that, He'll come into your heart and into your life and save you from your sins and make you a new creature. And yes, these bones will live again. Praise the Lord. We're thankful for Pastor Rob and the message that he brought today. If you'd like to learn more about Pastor Rob and his congregation at Servant's Heart Worship Center, you can find a link to their website on the links page of our own website. And I invite you to visit that page, and you can hear some of his other messages as well. Until next time, keep looking up, because Jesus is coming soon.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.